This is Blank on Blank. I'm David Gerlach, and thank you for joining us as we partner with journalists and interviewers, writers and authors, to build an archive of American interviews. Today's conversation is about the secret to speaking in public. You know, the ability to hold an audience's attention, get them to buy what you're selling, whether it's a cause, a gadget, an idea, whatever. So a little while back, Danielle Sachs, a senior writer for Fast Company magazine, wrote an expose on the godfather of green architecture. His name, William McDonough. He's been crowned Esquire's Big Thinker of the Year, Time's Hero for the Planet. Vanity Fair even went so far as to dub him the Prophet. They're calling him the visionary in the movement to transform the world of design. And people want to hear him talk. He gets paid some $50,000 per speech. Well, Danielle's story looked at whether he is truly someone who gets things done, or if he's less action and more just a really, really good talker, a seducer of crowds. And it's that second part of the question which leads to just what might be the golden rule to speak by. So here's William McDonough on public speaking like the Romans did. This is Blank on Blank.
I learned a lot from a book called The Art of Memory. Mm-hmm. By a historian named Frances Yates.
Okay.
And she describes, in effect, the way the Roman senators learned how to give three-hour speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trained to do that. And they were also trained to listen for 3 hours. Because you got to be trained to listen to somebody for 3 hours,
mm-hmm.
as well as to speak for 3 hours. And the way they gave their speeches is architecture. They would associate the ideas that they want to communicate with a work of architecture and use it as the mnemonic device. That's what they literally
really?
Use it. Yeah, they were trained that
way. So they would think of like
a building, right. If Cicero or Seneca had to get up and talk about the Republic, they would imagine a huge building and they would go, today we're going to talk about the Republic. Boom. And then they'd open their arms really wide. And in their minds, they would have this huge edifice with a big parterre and a staircase going up to it and stuff like that. And they would associate the ideas with the staircase. Okay, I'm going to lead you up into the idea. Boom. And then they get to the front entrance and, you know, they explain what idea that represented to them. And then they turn around and look back at the view and, whoa, that was a big idea of the world they're in. And then they turn around again, look at the building. And then they go into the vestibule, which is dark. And so you take people into the umbrage. And so I always do that in my speeches.
Wait, so you're saying you'd associate like a darker idea with that?
Umbra, kind of, you know, like, what is he talking about?
Right.
I can't see. So I'll take you into the vestibule, and all of a sudden your pupils have to dilate because you can't see, right? So I'll say, so what we're talking about here is a strategy of tragedy and a strategy of hope. You're like, what is he talking about? A strategy of tragedy, a strategy of hope. And I'll go, well, if we continue what we're doing now, we have these tragedies. And is that our strategy? Is that our design? You know, well, what if we had a strategy of hope? Well, if we had a strategy of hope, then we need a coherent system to provide that strategy of hope. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, cradle to cradle. Bang, I just brought you into the atrium of the building and you're now in a bright place,
mm-hmm.
where I can explain what I want to talk to you about. And it's not as bright as the outdoors because you're inside a building and you're in the atrium. But it's bright and it seems brighter than the outdoors because you just went through the shadows. So I take you through shadows and then I bring you into the brightness of the idea. And at that point I have all the stories now. And that all the buildings, all the rooms in the building are stories. I can go anywhere I want to. I could say, you know, Danielle's ready to go straight into the living room. Or, no, she really wants to go see the kitchen first,
mm-hmm.
you know, before we go to the dining room. Or, mm-hmm. why don't we go right out onto the balcony and have a view, look at the view, because she needs to know the context of all of this.
That was William McDonough on Public Speaking Like the Romans Did, and this is Blank on Blank. I do want to thank Danielle Sachs, senior writer for Fast Company magazine, for adding this interview to the archive. You can read her profile of William McDonough and more at daniellesachs.com. Now for more interviews that you can hear nowhere else, head over to blankonblank.org. I'm David Gerlach. Keep listening.